News with Nick. March 25th, 2019. Oops. It has been 3 weeks since the last show, and that's how I start every show, is by telling you how long it's been since the last time you got to hear my buttery, buttery butt on the radio. The radio waves called podcasting. Is everything working on the stream? I think so. Head on over to newswithnick.com. Oh, speaking of starting the video version. Whoops. Good thing we're starting that now, and we're going to change this welcome text on the live stream to the website. Sorry about that, folks. All right. If you want to check out the video version of the show that I just started recording, head on over to newswithnick.com and click on the episode in question, and hopefully there will be a video posted. Boy, it is getting warm in here. I got this heater turned off already. New feature added to the website this week. I have been trying to figure out how to do a way that I can do text updates. Why would anyone do text updates in 2019? Who knows? But if you head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and you type your phone number in the left-hand panel, you will be subscribed to my text updates, and then I can just text you tips. So if you ever need to know, like, oh, the newest tip is that if you're in a grocery store stuck behind an old lady with a cart who's going super slow, just push your way by her. And if she goes, ah, excuse me, you go, no, excuse you. Wait, no, you go, no, you are the one in the way. But she did say, excuse me, I guess. So I guess you would go, you're excused. And she'll go, ah, I can't even. And then you run past her to the self-checkout where you try to beep all your stuff through as quickly as possible and then run out the door without paying. That happened to me this week or last week or something. I was waiting in line to do the self-checkout, and I'm always very quick. All these other people, they go through the salad bar, they go through the self-checkout, like they got nothing going on. If I go near the salad bar and I can see someone across the entire store, that was actually the opposite. I just said two opposite things. If I start walking toward the salad bar and I can see it, if I see anyone start at the salad bar, they should have a good 15 seconds before I get there to move down the aisle, move down the lane. No, they're always the slowest. They're always inspecting every single piece of broccoli. Is this one good enough for my salad? Yes. Is this one? No. Oh, if I see anyone at the salad bar and I want a salad, it's too bad. I can't even go. Or I have to pretend that I accidentally went past the salad bar when really I just wanted to buy some granola bars, and then I got to loop back around to the salad and hope that there's not someone there. I have to peek around the displays because I'm not standing behind someone awkwardly waiting for them to stop inspecting their broccoli so that I can get salad. However, if I were to follow my own tips with the old lady, I would just reach past the person with a separate set of tongs and go, excuse you, and then grab my own broccoli, because I'm not going to be inspecting every piece of broccoli or cucumber. You know what? That is what we're going to do next time. I'm not letting a person going slow in the salad bar slow me down. I'm just going to grab what I want and go around them. Huh. Anyway, so I'm in line, and I'm always the fastest as I can be at getting the self-checkout thing. So I'm not even looking. I run up to it, and I start beeping my stuff through. I beep my seltzer, and the lady goes, wait, wait, wait! He didn't pay! And she's yelling at the person in front of me, sir! Sir, you need to pay! And he goes, ah, yes, and he walks back. But I wasn't even looking, so I accidentally scanned my seltzer into his receipt. And the lady had to, like, scan her badge and remove it, right? So, anyway, he goes, ah, right, yes, pay. And then he comes back and he pays like everything's normal. He didn't say anything like, ah, sorry about that. But is that his scam? Does he just pretend that he forgot to finish the process at the self-checkout? Like, ah, sorry, there's a lot on my mind. My grandpa died or something like that. And how many times could you do that and get away with it? Although, if he was really that smart, he would have noticed that there was a worker lady standing right there. So maybe that wasn't his scam. But you always wonder. The chat says, if you don't bring your own tongs to the grocery store salad, what are you even doing? Exactly. In fact, I'm going to go to the kitchen section, get some tongs there, use those, and then bring them back to the kitchen section when I'm done. You know? what were we talking about? Pushing past old ladies in the grocery store. Yes. And self-checking out. All right. On to the news. We've got a lot of tabs to cover today. Some of it's happy. Some of it's sad. Some of it's in between. Are you left, right, or middle? We don't know. Are you a rich actress from Full House? I don't know either. This is breaking news last night. Attorney General William Barr delivered a letter to Congress outlining the principal conclusions of the special counsel Mueller's investigation into whether Donald Trump campaign coordinated with the Kremlin to influence the 2016 election. So if people haven't been paying attention, this has been the news story ever since Trump was elected, where they're like, oh, he must have coordinated with Putin. And they got a bunch of people and they hired a bunch of trolls to go on the internet and hack all the election machines so that that's why he became president. Probably wasn't that intense. Here's what the letter says. On Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions he had reached, as required by this law thing. This report is entitled Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election, although my review is ongoing. And by the way, the guy who's doing the letter is hired by Trump. The special counsel is Mueller, I don't even know. He's like supposedly supposed to be a neutral party. Are there any really neutral parties in the U.S. unless we hire a Canadian to come do it? Who knows? But anyway, let's see. The report explains. So the guy who's doing the letter was hired by Trump and he's summarizing the letter. And then people are saying, well, how could you believe him? He's hired by Trump. Which, yeah, he's going to spin it, but he can't outright lie about what it says. The report explains that the special counsel and his staff thoroughly investigated allegations that members of the presidential campaign of Donald J. Trump and others associated with it conspired with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or sought to obstruct the related federal investigations. In the report, the special counsel noted that in completing its investigation, employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of 40 FBI agents, issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, blah, 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 a bunch of stuff and numbers. The special counsel's report is divided into two parts. The first describes the results of the special counsel's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian efforts to influence this election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. The report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined in the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. Okay, so there's two things. Did Russia do weird stuff? And while Russia was doing weird stuff, did anyone in the U.S. contribute or help? The special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election. As the report states, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Okay? So everyone who watches CNN all day long, for the past 2 years, CNN has been promising them the arrest of Donald Trump is coming. As soon as this report is done, they're going to find that he definitely conspired with Russia. And now the report is out, and the report says, we did not establish that he conspired with Russia. Right? So best case, worst case scenario for the president, I guess, is that that's a not guilty, like we couldn't prove it. Best case is that it didn't happen at all, and everyone was just making it up. So this is big news. Because now the report is done, apparently the investigation is over, and Trump will not be arrested while giving an inaugural speech or whatever. The report's second part addresses the number of actions by the president, most of which have been the subject of public reporting, that the special counsel investigated as potentially raising obstruction of justice concerns. After making a thorough factual investigation into these matters, a special counsel considered whether to evaluate the conduct under department standards governing prosecution and declination decisions, but ultimately decided not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. I don't know what any of these words mean. The special counsel therefore did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. So are they saying that, like, the president and people in the campaign obstructed the investigation and therefore could be guilty of obstructing justice? Either way, it says this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, but it does not exonerate him. So they didn't decide to go. It's kind of like the Hillary thing where they were like, she kind of like super messed up with those emails and really should not have been doing that. But we're going to say it's not a crime. So, all right, that happened. Let's see, did I have any other links related to that? No, I did not. Just wanted to say that that is the biggest news. Now, the report isn't out yet, so the report is confidential. So this is the summary of the report. I wonder how long the report is. It's got to be like 5,000 pages or something. Something crazy like that. Cool. So we'll watch that and see what happens. Probably nothing. So Trump's gone crazy on Twitter. He goes, no obstruction, completely exonerated, exclamation point. In better news, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft apologizes to his family, friends, in first statements at Sex Solicitation Charter. I don't know how to speak. This is an update to last week's show, last time's show. Robert Kraft has apologized to his friends, family, and fans and vowed to regain their confidence and respect in his first public statement since being charged with two counts of soliciting prostitution as part of a human trafficking probe in South Florida. Now, they say as part of a human trafficking probe, but I have not seen any news stories or any evidence that there really was human trafficking at this particular massage place. Like, maybe they were looking into it. Ah, we're probing for it. Huh. Well, there is none, but there is this guy who likes getting a towel rubbed on his body. In defense of the judicial process, I have remained silent these past several weeks. This is Kraft speaking. To correct some of the misinformation surrounding this matter, my attorney made his first public comments on Friday night. I would like to use this opportunity to say something that I have wanted to say for 4 weeks. I am truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed my family, my close friends, my coworkers, our fans, and many others who rightfully hold me to a higher standard than getting a HJ by an Asian. Throughout my life, that last part I added, throughout my life, I have always tried to do the right thing. The last thing I would ever want to do is disrespect another human being. What? I have extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful woman, the love of my life, who I was blessed to have as a partner for 50 years. So he's not married, right? Because, like, whoever he was married to is a ghost hovering in the room going, no, don't do it. And then he's like, how'd you get in here? She's like, sneak and peek. As a... Callback, as I move forward, I hope to continue to use the platform with which I have been blessed with to help others and try to make a difference. What does that even mean? Try to make a difference with what? I am now against human trafficking and Asian massage parlors. I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect. All right. Well, this is a very dumb story. Nobody cares except that it's funny. That he went to a Florida massage parlor. So if you guys want to hear more about this, we're not going to reread it, but listen to last time's show from March and we read the indictment against Robert Kraft. It's a funny one. In other news, Trump watched the Patriots win the Super Bowl with the founder of the spa in which Robert Kraft was busted. Okay, here's this news story. The president watched New England Patriots win their sixth Super Bowl last month in the company of the founder of the spa in which the Patriots' owner was charged with soliciting prostitution. What? Over the years, these establishments, many of which operate under the same Tokyo Day Spa, have gained a reputation for offering sexual services, the Herald reported. Yang and a friend were sitting at a table just behind Trump at his West Palm Beach resort and snapped a pic with him. They took a selfie with Trump. Now, people are saying, with the owner of the spa who was running Asians through here and they were human trafficking, Trump's hanging out with her. I can't believe it. He must be in on it. Well, no. The founder of it is this lady, not the current owner. But still, that's pretty weird, right? Unless she founded just like dozens and dozens of massage parlors in the South, well, in Florida. Her attorneys have held a press conference. Let's see what this video has to say.
Today, I'm sitting here, face to the camera, and before the day, I don't want to see the media. I'm so much scared. But because that issue, the Democrats, to all the just the fake news.
The day after Cindy Yang.
She is unintelligible. The Democrats and the fake news. I'm scared, but. I'm scared to talk to the media, she says. By the next day, she had packed her car and headed west, getting away from the scrutiny and negative publicity that had exploded around her in the last 2 weeks. Top Democrats asked the FBI to answer by Thursday afternoon if the agency will investigate Yang for possible counterterrorism threats based on her apparent access to Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump, and top officials. This is amazing. The founder of the massage parlor is now involved in counterterrorism threat investigations. Her lawyer has said these accusations are part of a political agenda. We have the Mueller investigation coming to a conclusion. So I found this obviously before that occurred. She says, I didn't have that type of establishment whatsoever. Oh, wait, who's Turk? I'm so sorry. This is obviously, there's two people here. There's this Lady Yang and Evan Turk. Oh, her lawyer. I'm so sorry. Like, who's this new person? Okay, so basically he speaks on behalf of her. She didn't have that type of establishment whatsoever. Turk said that Yang's remaining spas in the Palm Beach County are now run by family members, including her husband. He said they are in danger of going out of business due to negative publicity. So everything comes full circle. Let's see. Found this funny story today. First ever slapping championship is come to Siberia. Who has time for handshakes, hellos, or the blah, blah, blah. So the slapping championship is like, you know, you've heard of these arm wrestling championships or this sport called boxing where you punch each other in the face. Apparently it's that. Only you don't dance around a ring. You just stand across a table from each other, and then you just punch each other with an open hand in the face. It gets called a slap. And you see who gives up first. Let's watch a video. Uh-oh. Oh, here it is. Jeez. This guy, like, slaps this other guy. He falls backwards into, like, his spotter. Can you imagine how much that hurts? I wonder if they grow huge beards so that they have more padding. Did he give up? Oh, he gave up after that hit. Wow. Men take turns to stoically slap their opponents on the cheek until one of them gives up or is disqualified. Only a tall box stands between the competitors to offer support and balance after each smack. Unlike similar sports, participants cannot dodge or deflect their opponent's slaps. They're required to feel the force of each blow. The championship's winner walked away with 30,000 ruble. Huh. That's apparently equal to $470. So to be the best slapper in Siberia, you get $470. There's that if anyone wants to get into some professional slapping. All right, now on to one of the biggest stories of the week. So there was this event. We'll talk about it in a moment. In New Zealand. New Zealand has now banned a terror suspect's racist manifesto. Citizens are told to destroy any copies of it. New Zealand's government on Saturday banned a racist, angry manifesto written by the suspected gunman. He is probably not suspected. He probably is, like, really the gunman. Of two recent mosque shootings in Christchurch that killed 50 people, arguing the 74-page document promotes murder and terrorism. So New Zealand has literally said, If you have a copy of that manifesto, it's illegal. New Zealand's Office of Film and Literature Classification, wow, issued a statement officially classifying the manifesto titled The Great Replacement and authored by the alleged shooter as objectionable under the country's law. There's an important distinction to be made between hate speech, which may be rejected by many right-thinking people, but is which legal to express, and this type of publication, which is deliberately constructed to inspire further murder and terrorism. It crosses the line, says New Zealand. All right, let's read what happened here. The Christchurch mosque shootings were two consecutive terrorist attacks in Christchurch, New Zealand. Now, this whole time, obviously this news story blew up, right? The mosque shooting in New Zealand, in Christchurch. And I kept going, a Muslim mosque was named Christchurch? But no, this is the town that they put the mosques in, Christchurch. Because if it was Muslim, it would be like Allah Church, right? Or Allah Mosque. This would be like putting a Christian church in Allah Mosque, yeah. The attack killed 50 people and injured 50 more. A 28-year-old Australian man described in media reports as a white supremacist was arrested and charged with murder. And now, the other thing that this guy did is he finally did it. Someone finally did what I've always been saying. I don't know why they don't do. Remember streammyshooting.com, my great idea, where I would have people come to the website and hire me, except instead of doing the streaming, we would just call the police, obviously. This guy's calling streammyshooting.com. He strapped a GoPro to his head, and he turned on Facebook Live, and he streamed it live. The gunman began shooting worshippers at the Al Noor Mosque in Deans Avenue, Riccarton? Around 1:40 p.m., police received the call at 1:41 p.m. Between 300 and 500 people may have been inside the mosque attending Friday prayer at the time of the shooting. A neighbor of the mosque told reporters he saw the gunman flee and drop what appeared to be a firearm in the driveway. The witness said the gunman appeared to be wearing military-style clothing. So yeah, he gets in the car, he starts the live stream, and then he actually drives around for several minutes playing songs on the radio. And then he gets out, and then he just walks toward the building, and he just shoots the people as they're leaving, and then he goes in, and he shoots the people inside, anyone who didn't escape. Then the stream cuts off, and apparently he goes to a second location, so his arrest isn't actually recorded. Okay, so anyway, that occurs, that's awful. And then New Zealand responds by banning the video, banning the manifesto. So here's some of the manifesto. It is called, it's so hard to read because all I have is this large JPEG of it. It is called The Great Replacement Toward a New Society. We March Ever Forward. And he has this, did he draw this little, it's like a pie of four different things: anti-imperialism, environmentalism, responsible markets, addiction-free community. It doesn't seem like he drew this. This sounds like something you'd grab from Obama's website. Let's see. Why did I do this? I should probably find out where this is. Why did you carry out the attack? To most of all, show the invaders that our lands will never be their lands, our homelands are never our own, and that as long as a white man still lives, they will never conquer our lands, and they will never replace our people. He was in New Zealand, though. That's not even where he lived. Or that's not, at least not where he grew up. So how is he... never mind. Doesn't matter. He says, to take revenge on the invaders for the hundreds of thousands of deaths caused by foreign invaders in European lands throughout history. He says, to take revenge for the enslavement of millions of Europeans, I'm burping so much because I keep drinking beer, taken from their lands by Islamic slavers, to take revenge for the thousands of years, to take revenge, blah, blah, blah. He says, to agitate political enemies of my people into action, to cause them to overextend their own hand and experience the eventual and inevitable backlash as a result. Keep going. And then he finally says, finally, to create conflict between the two ideologies within the United States. It's like, don't drag us into this. on the ownership of firearms in order to further the social, cultural, political, and racial divide within the United States. This conflict over the Second Amendment and the attempted removal of firearm rights will ultimately result in a civil war that will eventually balkanize the U.S. along political, cultural, and most importantly, racial lines. This balkanization of the U.S. will not only result in the racial separation of the people within the United States, ensuring the future of the white race on the North American continent, but also ensuring the death of the melting pot pipe dream. Furthermore, this balkanization will also reduce the U.S.'s ability to project power globally, thereby ensure that never again can such a situation as the U.S. involvement in Kosovo ever occur again. Okay. Anyway, he has a whole ton of question and answers here. I'm not going to read through them because, like we said, it was 72 pages long. It says, did you carry out the attack for fame? No, carrying out an attack for fame would be laughable. After all, who can remember the name of the attackers in the September 11th attack in New York? All we remember is Muhammad Atta. Does anyone remember another name? Because I cannot. How about the attack on the Pentagon? The attackers in the plane that crashed into the field the same day? Well, yeah, if there's 19 in one day, it's going to be hard to remember them. Secondly, I don't even know this guy's name. Because the New Zealand media is actually, I think it's a law there that you can't say the person's name or show their face or whatever if they're not convicted of a crime, which is a great practice. Obviously, you can't make it law in the U.S. That would be a violation of the First Amendment, freedom of the press, of them to report whatever, obviously, as long as it's factual. Person ABC has been charged with XYZ is a factual statement. And people jump to conclusions based on that, which we'll see shortly in the news. He says, I will be forgotten quickly, which I do not mind. After all, I am a private and mostly introverted person. But the aftershock from my actions will ripple for years to come, driving political and social discourse, creating the atmosphere or fear and change that is required. Well, he's not wrong. So now they've banned his manifesto and they've banned a couple guns in New Zealand and said, turn over your guns if they match these criteria. So he's not wrong. He did a thing, and now all of a sudden the country's doing bans. So he did, like, the best recourse would be, oh, well, that's terrible. Let's mourn the victims, but not have him any other sway, whatever. Huge story the past couple weeks. A slew of CEOs charged in the college entrance cheating scam. Two high-profile actresses and a slew of top business executives, including a former head of PIMCO, whatever that is, were among 50 people charged in a $25 million cheating scheme to help wealthy students to gain admission to top colleges, law enforcement officials said Tuesday. Suspects allegedly paid bribes to sports coaches and administrators to help get the students admitted to institutions like Yale, Stanford, the University of South California and Georgetown, regardless of athletic or academic abilities. So at first I heard this story and I was like, okay, so there's rich people. The rich people give money to colleges and the college says, come on in, person's kid. You can definitely come on in. We're just going to overlook the fact that you didn't do well on your SATs or any of your GPAs. You can come in. That isn't quite how it went down. The scheme involved cheating on SAT and ACT exams on behalf of students and bribing college administrators and athletic coaches to recruit students. So, what we have here is the indictment. It is 204 pages long. What do I normally say after that? Strap on. Strap in. And then I say, we're going to read all 204 pages. We are not. All right, so introduction and agent background. I'm a special agent, blah, blah, blah. And they say, here are the number of people charged, and they give a page counting from each single one. So there were two schemes going on at the same time. So let's look at the two schemes. Okay, there was the college entrance exam cheating scheme. The college entrance exam cheating scheme generally worked as follows. CW1, we're going to have to call this person CW1. What does CW1 stand for? Cooperating Witness 1. CW1 instructed clients of the key to seek extended time for their children on college entrance exams if they had not done so already, including by having the children purport to have learning disabilities in order to obtain a medical documentation that ACT Inc. and the College Board typically require before granting students extended time. So this is extra time to complete the ACT or the SAT. Once the students were granted extended time, which generally allowed them to take the exam over 2 days instead of one, CW1 instructed his clients to change the location of the exam to one of two test centers he told them he controlled, which was in Texas or a private college proprietary school in California. For example, in explaining the scheme to one defendant, he explained that he needed to control the center for the scheme to work, and that by obtaining extended time for the test, the defendant's son would be able to take the test at the facility rather than his own high school. At those test centers, CW1 had established relationships with test administrators who had agreed to accept bribes to facilitate the cheating scheme. They would make up excuses such as a bar mitzvah or a wedding that would mean that they had to take the test at another facility. After the location had been changed, ACT Inc. and the College Board sent the exams to those test centers, typically blah, 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 with by FedEx, da, 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 da. CW1 bribed the test administrators to allow a third party, typically CW2, to take the exams in place of the actual students to serve as the purported proctor for the exams while providing students with the correct answers or to review and correct the students' answers after they completed the exams. This is a summary, and we're going to probably just go into the details rather. So this is the summary of, oh, here's what ended up happening. So let's skip to page 72, where we're going to find some information about a lady named Felicity Huffman. She's an actress. Huffman and her spouse perpetrated a charitable contribution of $1,500 to participate in the college entrance exam cheating scheme on behalf of her oldest daughter. She later made arrangements to pursue a scheme in the second time for her youngest daughter before deciding not to do so. All right, so here's some information on the phone calls they've had. All right, CW1 says, great. I just wanted to let you know that the guy who took the test for your oldest daughter had a baby. So if I need to give him about 3 weeks' notice, if you want to take the test, you want us to take the test for your younger daughter in December, blah, blah, blah. The next date would be in February. Let's try to plan for December. In a call with CW1 on about November 12, 2018, Huffman confirmed that she wanted to proceed with this cheating scheme, but probably only after her daughter first took this exam on her own without cheating. CW1 has advised law enforcement agents that in such an instance, when parents had their children first take the exam by themselves to see how they scored without cheating, CW1 would typically direct CW2 to ensure that their second score did not increase by more than 30% from the first baseline score in order to avoid any suspicion of cheating. Excerpts from the call, which were recorded, are set below. CW1 says, I know she's preparing with a tutor. Is she going to make that with her extended time at her school, or are we going to do that like where the oldest daughter did it? Huffman says, we're going to do it like we did with the oldest daughter. CW1, okay. So, CW2 will take it with her and for her at Igor's place at the Hollywood Test Center. So, because I need to do the paperwork for that and you're okay with that. Huffman says, yeah, totally. CW1, okay, all right. So, as we get closer to that point or over, maybe I'll have it done over the next week or so. Anyway, this is not all that interesting. So, basically, they go through CW1... says to Felicity Huffman, hey, your daughter can take it on her own, but if she takes it and then doesn't do well, we can't increase her score by more than like 30%, so she better do okay. The price to participate in the cheating scheme would be $15,000. Discussed with Huffman and her spouse whether they thought their daughter would actually take the exam over 2 days in order to achieve as high a score as possible before CW2 corrected her answers. Excerpts from the crawl, which were consensually recorded, are set forth below. So I guess the question for both of you guys is, are we going to do this similarly to we did with the oldest daughter? They're asking the same questions. You know when you're on a call with someone and they just ask all the same questions like they did a week ago and you go, we already went over this, Scott. We already went over this. All right. On or about February 13th, Felicity Huffman spoke with CW again. February 13th, this is a month and a half ago. about a plan for her daughter to take the exam first on her own and a second time as part of the cheating scheme. During the call, Hoffman expressed concern in substance about whether a drastic increase in her daughter's score would cause her SAT tutor to suspect cheating. Let's see. And you know, the tutor gave her that practice test, and as I said to you, she came in around 1,200. But I think we can bring it up, and the CW1 says, I think we can go to 14. Hoffman says, yeah, I think we can bring it up, but I just didn't know if it'd be odd for the tutor if we go, oh, she did this in March 9th, but she did so much better in May. I don't know if they'd be like, the tutor would like be like, wow. So she's being a little dramatic here. I'm stuttering, but I feel like my stuttering is sort of what Felicity Huffman was doing on the phone. Anyway, CW1 says, the tutor is just doing her job, so I don't think she'll get that engaged in that kind of world. So I wouldn't worry about that. All right, so let's read about a woman called Lori Loughlin. Defendants Massimo Giuliani and Lori Loughlin, collectively called the Giannullis? Whatever. Loughlin is an actress. On or about April 22nd, 2016, the husband copying Lori Loughlin sent an email to CW1 noting, hey, we just met with our oldest daughter's college counselor. I'd like to maybe sit with you after your session with the girls, as I have some concerns. I want to fully understand the game plan and make sure we have a roadmap for success as it relates to our daughter and getting her into school other than ASU. CW1 says, if you want USC, I have a game plan ready to go. Call me to discuss. In an email, CW1 advised them that the oldest daughter's academic qualifications were just at or below the low end of USC's admission standards. Thereafter, they agreed with CW to use bribes to facilitate her admission to USC as a recruited crew oxswain, even though she did not row competitively or otherwise participate in crew. So crew is the rowing team. On or about August 29, 2016, CW1 emailed them and said, please send a $50,000 payment to the person below. On or about, why do people say on or about? Like, it's like, I don't know the exact date, or I'm pretty sure of the exact date, but I might as well just put it in the indictment on or about, because if they go, no, it was a day after, they can't throw out the entire charges. Is that just a reason they say that? Let's see, about November 28th, CW1 sent an email that his daughter had been, sent an email to the customers and Lori Loughlin that the daughter had been provisionally admitted to USC based on records that indicate you have the potential to make a significant contribution to the intercollegiate athletic program. FYI, attached a letter that you can hold on to. As long as your daughter does what she is doing, all is good. On or about March 23rd, 2017, so like 3 or 4 months later, USC mailed the daughter her formal acceptance letter. 1 week later, Massera, who's Massera, sent them an invoice from KWF for $200,000 and wrote, thank you for your pledge to the Key Worldwide Foundation. Your pledge is now due. Our receipt letter will go out upon your full payment. They responded, thanks again. We are currently on holiday in the Bahamas, but we'll gladly handle this when we get home next week. So they sent $200,000 to the Key Worldwide Foundation in exchange for the girl being put on the rowing team. Here's the rowing team. She is not on it, nor did she ever show up for a single practice, probably. They just said, you're on the rowing team. So they paid off the coaches to go, this is a great person. We can get her in. Unbelievable. It's not unbelievable. It's completely believable. It's just funny. So if you guys want to read the entire thing, maybe I'll post the link over on the show page. But it's just 50 different people having the same exact conversation with this middleman going, can we cheat on the ACT? Can we cheat on the SAT? One person goes, you know, a 32 is going to be a little bit hard to justify, given he doesn't want to say it. And CW1 goes, I know what you mean. Like, he's basically saying, my daughter's kind of an idiot. So they go, let's go for a 30. And then this other guy, CW2, he must be a complete genius because he's taking the ACT and the SAT all the time and he's getting high grades. And not only is he getting high grades, he's getting grades that they say to get. Like, get a 30. He's like, okay, got a 30. So he's got to be like the best test taker in the world. Here's a story that was sent in by a listener, otherwise known as James Bukeschmel. Mississippi mom arrested after 2 of 3 kids drowned in a locked vehicle while she was shopping. She was arrested on Monday after 2 or 3 are drowned in a locked vehicle. So this is very sad. She was at a Stop and Shop, roughly blah, 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 blah. 3 young children aged 1 to 4 were inside her Pathfinder. She told investigators that when she exited the store, she saw her vehicle was gone and had rolled into the creek. Police and firefighters jumped into the creek and attempted to rescue the kids, and they did get one out. The other two floated down the creek in the SUV. So they sent this in on Facebook. Here's what the Leland Police Department posts. Child death investigation on March 9th, 2019. Blah, blah, blah. A Nissan Pathfinder was floating in Deer River. Upon the arrival, the Leland Fire Chief, a bunch of these people, located the vehicle with the 3 kids trapped inside, jumped into the creek, attempted to burst the windows, all the things we've already heard. Lena Monique Payne, 25, who was identified as the mother of the 3 kids, stated that she left the kids in the vehicle. She walked into Stop and Shop. She said she came out of the store and the vehicle had rolled into the creek. This is what they posted on Facebook. This lady just had her kids float down the river, and they're like, child death investigation. Let's post this great graphic. 2 days later, 1 day later, arrest! Huge, huge graphic, arrest! Jaina Payne was booked and charged to the Leland Police Department for an incident that occurred on March 9th involving the death of her 2 sons. So she's arrested now. Everyone's thinking, wow, what a horrible mom. She's going to jail for years and years, right? The media said she's been arrested. She's definitely guilty. She's the worst mom ever. That one child doesn't even deserve to have a mom. He probably wishes he'd floated down the river. Charges dropped against mother whose children drowned in SUV. Charges have been dismissed against the Leland mother whose 2 children drowned. She was arrested last week. The Leland police chief Nelson confirmed that the charges were dismissed. Asked why, he replied, "That was the judge's ruling." So that's over. I mean, it's not over. It's still awful. But good story. Thanks for sending that one in, because we got a good example of the news blowing up everywhere. And most likely, the news of the charges getting dropped are not in as many places. But she is not going to be charged in the incident. There's not enough evidence to say that she was negligent. Maybe her Pathfinder decided to drive itself into the river. So we don't know. Here's another story. Ohio man speaks out. He was arrested for a brutal attack on a child rape suspect. Richard Adams, 20, said he just snapped after walking in on a 17-year-old boy sexually assaulting a 5-year-old boy last Thursday. I was just doing laundry, and I walked out, and there was a 17-year-old, and he had the 5-year-old's penis in his mouth. Adams said after he got the 17-year-old away from the boy, he flew into a rage and started beating the teen.
Good evening, I'm Lydia Aspar. Thank you for joining us. Police arrest a man for beating up a teenager who allegedly sexually assaulted a 5-year-old boy. Now, that juvenile has been charged with rape. That man is speaking out to our CNN New Yorker in a story you'll see only on Cleveland 19. And we want to warn you that some of these details may be very disturbing.
Richard Adams tells me he snapped when he walked into this house on Thursday in East Lake.
I was just doing laundry, and I walked out, and there was a 17-year-old who had a 5-year-old's pants down to his ankles, and he had the 5-year-old's penis inside of his mouth.
What? There's so many questions. Why is he in this house? Why was he doing laundry outside? Was he hanging it up on a line and then he's walking inside? Why is he walking into a random person's house going, you got a 5-year-old in here? Or is it because they told him, you can't give any more details because everyone involved is a minor.
Adam says after he got the 17-year-old boy away from the 5-year-old, he started beating the teen.
Tell us, what did the 5-year-old boy tell you?
He said that that the 17-year-old had touched him right there, and he had previously touched him the night before.
Oh, no!
When you heard that, what went through your mind?
I kind of just snapped and didn't know what to think.
And then he posted it to Facebook. Here's an edited version of the aftermath. We are not revealing the 17-year-old's face since he's a juvenile.
What'd you do? You molest the 5-year-old? Huh?
Why is there a dog in the background? I didn't watch this whole video before. I didn't realize that he'd posted a video to Facebook going, I beat someone up, and now I'm streaming it.
You molest the 5-year-old? Huh? Did I just catch you molest the 5-year-old?
Adam says Eastlake police were called, and he was arrested for felony assault. The 17-year-old was also arrested and charged with rape of the 5-year-old boy. Adams tells me he regrets posting the video to social media, but doesn't regret protecting the 5-year-old boy.
I do feel sorry for the video. I should not have posted that. I do feel remorse with the video.
So it's very blurry, but it looks like is he has like a bloody head.
A situation.
Not like all it looks like, but like, I mean, that's all you can see.
I want everyone to stop all the child offenders and predators that are out there. I really do. And I don't.
Wow. So if this guy really is a dick, this BDRper guy, maybe he is a complete dingle, right? In real life. But now everyone's like, he's a hero. So this was his one chance. He basically won the child molester beating lottery. If you run into one of those, you're like, I won the lottery. I'm going to beat him up. And most likely we'll see, I mean, oftentimes what happens is their charges are dropped later because the public outcry is like, oh, he was molesting a kid. How could you not beat up someone who was molesting a kid? Remember in The Time to Kill when the dad ran out of the closet with an assault gun and killed those people and then he was finally exonerated, right, or whatever? I've only seen that movie once and it was when I was in 8th or 9th or something like that. Wow, it is getting late, but we have so much more to do. This is amazing. This is going to be a long show. Let's see what the chat's saying. Cam Girl Nick. All right, thank you for taking my shirt off in the middle of the show because it was getting warm in here. Everyone who was on board a stranded cruise ship, including many Americans, were safe on Monday after a terrifying voyage off the coast of Norway. The Viking Sky was carrying just over 1,300 passengers and crew when it sent a distress signal on Saturday. The vessel lost power and began drifting toward land. While rocking violently, the heavily listing ship became stranded in a notoriously rough stretch of water. Norway's government announced an investigation into why the ship had left port in the first place, despite the storm warnings. The high risk which the ship, its passengers and crew were exposed to made us decide to investigate this incident, said the Norwegian Accident Investigations Board. And a CBS News correspondent reported that video from inside the Viking showed blah, 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 blah. So over the weekend, I was watching the news, and I was going, oh, there's a live rescue going on right now off a cruise ship. They were flying helicopters back and forth from this cruise ship, taking old people off because it was so rocky, and there was no engines, and it was very stormy, rocky and stormy. Here's a video. This isn't a video. Here is a video. This is the best one. It is from inside, like, floor 13 or something. A lady gets hit in the head with ceiling. Now, furniture and plants are just sliding back and forth inside the ship while it goes back and forth. Like 30 degree angles. That looks so fun. I mean, it looks fun. I would be crying and peeing my pants and going, we're dead. We're dead for sure. It's literally like a cartoon. Everything just, everything slides one way and then everything slides back the other way. So they only got about 10% of the people off using helicopters because they weren't 100% sure when the boat would be able to dock again. But apparently the storm calmed enough that they could get like a towboat out and pull it into dock, and everyone got off, and pretty much no one was hurt at all. But that's pretty crazy. We thought there was going to be like a sinking for a minute there. A Fresno man has tried to set off a bomb at Panera Bread, and he failed.
Injured in this, considering how dangerous the situation was for officers as well as all the folks inside that restaurant, as detectives are now taking a closer look at the man responsible for all the chaos.
Also be advised that he left the home today on Monday night with a device that could be an explosive device.
Whoa.
Chad Mezginian remains in custody after police found him inside of a popular Northwest Fresno restaurant armed with a homemade explosive device.
Very fortunate, for whatever reason, this device did not go off inside of the business, and fortunately no one was injured.
Officers served a search warrant at his Southeast Fresno home earlier Wednesday when bomb-making materials were discovered. When they found the 43-year-old later in the day, there was a short pursuit. Mezginian eventually crashed his vehicle and ran into the Panera Bread near Shaw and Marty.
Okay, so this headline is completely false. Fresno man tried to set off bomb at Panera Bread but failed? That's the headline. That's not what happened at all. Okay, so they served a search warrant for this guy. For whatever reason, I don't even know why, because I'm not a good reporter, they thought he was making bombs in his house. Do a search warrant. They go, oh, holy crap, he's making bombs in his house. So then they find him, driving around the streets. Like, there he is! They do a short pursuit. He crashes his vehicle trying to get away and then ran into Panera Bread. One of the officers tackled him inside Panera Bread and handcuffed him, and that's when they brought him to his feet, and this device fell out. I wonder what they would do. Like, you're a known bomb maker. You get handcuffed. They lift you up, and some bomb stuff falls out of your pockets. And then they go, do they just hold him or do they run for it? Like, go, ah, we're cops. We don't know what to do. It's a bomb. Bomb squad investigators are still working to determine the potential danger of the device, but no Mezginian planned to set it off. We did hear the suspect make a comment that he had attempted to detonate this device inside Panera Bread, but was unable to do so because it had some type of malfunction.
Oh, great. So now the headline is right and I'm an idiot.
That doesn't make any sense. So he ran in and he was just trying to blow it up while running in? He's like, my final target, Panera Bread and their microwave chicken. I'm tired of this. Very possible that the device fell out or he never had that secondary device. We also located a shotgun shell in his possession. He made a statement that was for him that he was going to take his life with that. Take his life with the shotgun shell? What? Do you eat it? Oh, boy. This guy is a former insurance agent, but is well known to law enforcement. He was already wanted for violating domestic violence protective order before Wednesday's incident. His relationships have gone south because he's had domestic violence charges, a stalking charge, as well as elder abuse. In addition to that, we knew he had the potential to make some type of explosive device that could kill himself or kill others. So we'll be watching this story and see how it turns out for, what's his name, Chad Mezginian, the Panera bomber. Skip that story. We are running lower on time, so we're going to skip a story and go forward. We have an update from the accused or proven Jamie Kloss kidnapper. Now, you may remember that several months ago I did a story called Where is Jamie Kloss? Well, that might not have... I guess that was the story. This girl was missing. Her two parents had been shotgun shelled, and she had been kidnapped, and no one knew where she went. And then the story came out that she was found. And there was this whole indictment about the guy, Jake Patterson. It was a great read, but I didn't do a show like any time within a month of that occurring, so I didn't bring it up because it's old news. We have new news from Jake Patterson from jail. He has written a letter, and we're going to read the letter. He writes to a man named Lou. I don't know who Lou is, but he writes to it. Hi. IDK, if I'll actually send this. I'll answer some of your questions. Some I can't. I won't put in a lot of detail anyways. Long story short, if you haven't heard the story, Jake Patterson shotgun shelled the two parents, threw Jamie Kloss in the trunk, drove away from the house where the shooting occurred that he had done, drove by two cops that were responding to the shooting, waved at him. He didn't literally wave at them, but he's like literally passed them with the girl in the trunk, drove into the woods to his house, hid her under the bed where he kept her there by stacking totes, like plastic totes from Walmart and weights around the bed, and was like, don't leave. Right? And one day, he said, I'm going to be gone for 8 hours. Don't leave. And she goes, all right, I definitely won't leave. So he leaves. She leaves, throws on his shoes, stumbles down the road, finds a lady walking her dog, says, it's me, Jamie Kloss. They take her to like a friend's house where two guys have guns, and the two guys like each guard a door while they hide Jamie and call the police. Because they knew that the guy, Jake, had guns too. Obviously, he had already murdered. So he's going to be out looking for her. And so these two guys with guns just stand by the windows, peeking out, seeing, like, is he coming? He didn't end up coming, and they finally pulled him over and got him, right? He's in jail. Here's the letter. Question one. Why did you confess when you were caught, and why did you confess in such detail? I knew that I was caught, which I thought would happen a lot sooner, that I wouldn't fight anything. I tried to give them everything. I wasn't completely honest, so they didn't have to interview Jamie. They did anyway and hurt her for no reason. Huh. Interesting. What's your plan now? Plead guilty or take the case all the way to trial? He says, plead guilty. I want Jamie and her relatives to know that. Don't want them to worry about a trial. Was actually going to on the 6th, but in a case like this, it's not really allowed? Question mark. So the judge moved it to the 27th of March. That's in 2 days! Question three. What led you to want to kidnap a girl in the first place? He says, it's not black and white. Question four. Do you have any remorse or regrets of the things you did? He said, huge amounts. I can't believe I did this. Question five. What was your long-term plan if Jamie had not escaped that day? He said, won't say. It was really stupid, though, looking back. Question six. Did you confide in anyone or leave any hints that people failed to pick up on? He said, no. Question seven. Did your family really have no clue? Question mark. How often were family members in your cabin, and how close did they come to discovering Jamie under the bed? He says, no one knew. My dad only came on Saturdays, the same time every day, so it was a routine. Jamie hides on Saturday. My family respects my privacy, so no one went in my room. Did you ever return to Barron after the crime or insert yourself in any of the vigils or anything being held in Jamie's honor? Did you ever get close to her family following the shootings and kidnappings? He says, I stayed away from Barron. How closely did you follow the news coverage, and was Jamie aware of the news coverage and the extent of which people were searching for her? He says, I followed it through my phone. If something popped up on TV about it, I would change the channel. I would tell Jamie, I'm sorry, I can't watch this. I don't know if she knew. What the heck? So you're sitting in your living room, hanging out with her. She's got some popcorn, right? Because you treat your kidnappees nice. And the news comes on. It's like, she's missing. And he goes, no, not watching that. Wow. Question 10. How many questions are there? Okay, there's only a few more questions. What is this? The news...
Today is National Puppy Day, and thanks to all our viewers sharing their talented puppies with us. You can show us your pup's tricks on the Care 11 Facebook page. We love to see them.
Thanks for that pop-up video, Care 11.
Treats balancing on the nose. That's always an impressive one.
Our National Puppy Day.
Our resident Saturday show dog, Farley, is making a new friend this morning.
All right. That was a good interruption to the murder question and answer. Question 10. So when in your life did you realize you were capable of doing something like this? I just watched a 2020 special on a BTK killer, and he told a reporter he knew as a teen that he wanted to... This is still the question. He told a reporter he knew as a teen that he wanted to do something like this one day, and he was jealous over attention that other killers like Ted Bundy were receiving. Do you feel any of the same thoughts? All right. He says, Jake says, the cops say I planned this thoroughly, and that I said that. They're really good at twisting your words around, put them in different spots, straight up lie. Little mad about that. Trying to cover up their mistakes, I guess. Oh my God. He says, but this, oh my God, but this was mostly on impulse. I don't think like a serial killer. He's literally saying, the cops said that I planned this out so carefully because they're so bad at catching me that it sounds better. Oh my goodness. Question 11. What goes through the mind of someone who wants to carry out something like this? At the time, I was really pissed. I didn't want to. The reason I did this is complicated. No one will believe or even imagine how sorry I am for hurting Jamie this much. I can't express it. And on the back, he wrote, I'm sorry, Jamie, for everything. I know it doesn't mean much. In bubble letters, it says, I'm sorry, Jamie, ! Wow. All right, so we'll see him in court in 2 days, apparently. All right, we're going to get to the second to last story here. Teachers at an Indiana elementary school were shot with pellets during an active shooter training. Law enforcement officials at an Indiana elementary school reportedly ordered teachers to turn around and crouch and then shot them with plastic pellets, leaving the educators bruised and bloody during an active shooter drill. This happened in January. Just came out during a Wednesday hearing before state lawmakers on a proposed legislation outlining how schools could spend grants from the Indiana Safe School Funds. They said that deputies directed teachers at the elementary school into a room four at a time, told them to crouch down, and then shot them execution style with pellets in rapid succession. They were injured to the extent that welts appeared and blood was drawn. There was screaming. They said the teachers were waiting outside the room, heard their coworkers screaming, and then they were brought into the room and also shot with the pellets. She said the teachers were told not to relay what happened to anyone. Oh my goodness. The teachers' union, which supports the Safe School Grants, called for an amendment prohibiting drills that included shooting at teachers. That shouldn't even... Okay. We believe that adding a sentence prohibiting the fire of any projectile during these drills is sufficient and necessary guideline moving forward. No one in education takes these drills lightly. The risk of harming someone far outweighs whatever added realism may be sought. So people are probably saying, what is the point? Okay, let me bring you up to speed. So the way this shooter training goes is it's like a role play. You go, okay, first of all, we're going to try the hide method. When a shooter comes in, just hide under your desk and do nothing and hope you don't die. And so what happens is the shooter comes in and they hide under their desk and they do nothing and they all die because that's what happens. So people come in and they shoot everyone. They fake shoot everyone. But apparently in this one, they were shooting with airsoft guns and it was too much for the teachers to handle. Then they go, okay, now that everyone's dead, let's try it again. This time, try to like barricade the door or something. So they give them a certain amount of time or they just pretend, right? Okay, the shooting has started. So what do you do? What do you do? And they just barricade the door with chairs and tables and whatever. And then the fake shooters try to get in. And if they don't get in, the students win, right? So now you know what to do in a shooting situation, which is not to hide and let yourself get shot. You just barricade the door. All right. Wow, we've been going for quite a while. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out. Head on over to newswithnick.com. Sign up for text updates. Try to put a 1 in front of your number. However, right before the show, I was trying to do a text update, and I wasn't getting my own update. And I was like, what's going on? I'm not getting my own text message. And then I realized that apparently in the programming, you have to have a 1 in the number. So in 2 minutes before the show, I fixed the JavaScript on the site. And now if you type your number 10 digits without the 1, it will automatically add the 1. As long as there are no area codes that start with 1, because that's all I checked for in the code. I guess I could have checked for if it's 10 digits and starts with a 1, then add the extra 1. Or sorry, and doesn't start with a 1, then add the extra 1. Anyway, whole point is sign up for text updates if you want live show alerts and daily News with Nick tips. And by daily, I mean once every 3 weeks. The Tau Kappa Epsilon fraternity said it has expelled four members at a chapter in the University of Georgia after video surfaced appearing to show men using a racial slur about black people and talking about picking cotton. Tau Kappa Epsilon is disgusted, appalled, and angered by the remarks shown in a video of four expelled students, the national fraternity said in a statement. Will not tolerate any actions such as these that would be defined as racist, discriminatory, and or offensive. I have the hiccups. What do we do? What do we do? The video appears to show one man using a belt to slap another who is under covers in a bed and someone saying, "Pick my cotton," followed by the person being hit saying, "I am not black."
Pick my cotton, bitch.
Pick my cotton, bitch.
Well, pick my cotton, bitch. Okay, it's literally a guy under a flowery, my goodness, he's probably drunk. He's probably like, go away. I'm trying to sleep. I'm in college. He's under a comforter. There's another kid sitting on the edge of his bed, holding a belt. Uh-oh, it won't load now. Whips toward him in a generally non-caring way. Like how you would flail your arm if, like, you'd use less aggression on a fly. Or sorry, more aggression on a fly or a mosquito.
Cotton, bitch!
Pick my cotton, bitch!
Well, you're not using the right words.
Pick my... you all know all
this. I didn't hear the N-word. Of it.
Pick my cotton, nigger.
Oh, I heard the N-word. I didn't even know it was coming. So he says, pick my cotton, bitch, and the N-word. Hits the blanket and expelled. So that happened, I guess. When I was a kid, we've got all these people getting expelled for, like, talking about slavery and stuff. When I was a kid in fifth grade, we did Nature's Classroom. We got on a bus. We hopped into this camp. We stayed at a sleepaway camp, and we did just activities every day. And, like, the big activity on Friday night was the role play being a slave activity, where we all were put into a room, and we were told, you're slaves, and we're going to escape you by the Underground Railroad. And at a certain, and they were yelling it, and the teachers were yelling at us, like, you're slaves, get in that room, go. And I tripped at one point. And we were all supposed to hold on to the person's shoulders in front of us and march like black kids. And I tripped and they yelled, like, get up, you're a slave. They didn't say you're a slave, but they said, get up. And they were like being legit mean. Like, I thought we were really in trouble. And I can't imagine can they still do that nowadays? Like, what would happen? A bunch of white kids pretended to be slaves and the teachers yelled at them. And we had the one kid, he bunked with us, Gary. He was the one black kid in our school. And I wonder what he thought of this. But as a kid, I never thought of that. I never thought, oh, Gary, the black kid. I mean, I knew he was the black kid, but I never thought of him as that. I just thought of him as Gary. And it never crossed my mind that, oh, I wonder if he is mad about the whole thing when we're all slaves. Oh, well. Anyway, this has been News with Nick. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and thank you for hanging out in the chat. And anything else you guys want to talk about? I'll move all the stories I skipped over to next week's episode, and we'll take it from there. All right, everybody?